Support for WGLT's Grow comes from FS Custom Turf by Evergreen FS. FS Custom Turf offers complete lawn and tree care services to preserve the health of yards, trees, and shrubs. Products and services detailed at evergreen-fs.com.
In Illinois and most other states, much of life is on hold, but the seasons don't stop, and gardening can be socially distant. So why not get out and get your garden going? Garden shops and big box store garden centers are open for business, but with some restrictions during the coronavirus crisis. This is WGLT's gardening podcast, Grow, with our expert Patrick Murphy from ISU School of Biological Sciences and curator of the Fell Arboretum. I'm Mike McCurdy. Patrick, thanks for joining us by phone from your secure location.
Thanks for setting it up, Mike. Great talking to you.
So before we get into some practical information, let's talk about your thoughts about this current situation. I mean, it's really unprecedented.
Yeah, never before have Americans been asked to participate in a defeat against our enemy in the way we're being asked to participate against this COVID-19. There have been other national tragedies, but this one seems to be a little more involving, and it contacts us each more deeply. However, there are many people that are still continuing to work day in and day out as their positions are deemed essential. That's one thing that's helping us through these trying times.
In Illinois, how are garden shops classified?
The garden shops are allowed to stay open, and they offer curbside and delivery-type services, but they don't allow you to walk in and shop for the stuff yourself. There's no walk-in traffic. And this is also true for the large do-it-yourself retailers. If you do make the order option, you should be patient and realize that the orders may take time to assemble, and some items may even be unavailable at the time of your order. Many large retailers are offering pre-arranged bundling of the products for delivery, so there is some detail for the curbside pickup that would help you assemble everything that you would need to put together your garden or your landscape. One could conceivably place the order for all that is needed for their gardening or landscaping project. And you could also have that supported with mail order seeds and bare roots. That stuff is really popular, and the demand has maintained itself or even increased in many cases.
It makes sense that people would take this up as a hobby, especially vegetable gardening, after encountering some empty grocery shelves.
Yeah, it seems to be a climate of uncertainty, and with that, it's understandable that people would want to take food security into their own hands. But it's hard to gauge because this is not really that old, and some garden shops and nurseries have seen their demands doubled, as we mentioned, seed companies in particular, but they're also being impacted by personnel shortages and the increase in sales. And even gardening blog and other internet searches for gardening information have seen an increase in their traffic.
So let's assume there are some people coming at this for the first time, just getting started growing food to eat or doing some landscaping. What are some really basic rules or tips we can give that might prevent some rookie mistakes?
When it comes to the vegetables, watering is really important, but it's tricky because you can do too much or too little, too hard, too soft. So a lot of times it just requires a little testing of your plot, of your soil, and that requires your hand meeting the dirt, kind of pressing your fingers into the earth an inch or so. And when the seedlings are just coming up and germination's beginning, or for shallow seeds, high water pressure is really tricky. So considering drip hoses and fine mist type spray when you do irrigate, that'll help save you some trouble.
You talked about a finger test to see if the soil was wet. You could also do a chemical test of the soil to see, you know, what you need to add to it to make it as productive as possible.
Yeah, and it's easy to do. It's inexpensive. It can be $10 through your local extension. Those are the best tests because they test specifically for what you're doing. So if it's a garden growing flowers or if you want to have edibles, you just let the soil testing firm know that that's what you're seeking. You may not have that option with the DIY kit. It'll give you some pH basics and stuff like that. But it's an easy step.
What about just picking easy-to-grow plants?
Yeah, and we've talked about this before in other contexts where grow stuff that is normally grown from seed, grow things that are difficult to grow from seed from a seedling that somebody else has already produced, and you can avoid a lot of difficulties that way too.
Yeah, so from seed, I often grow leafy green vegetables. Those seem to take off. Radishes grow like a weed. But when it comes to cabbage and broccoli, I often start with a small plant that someone else has nursed along.
Yeah, tomatoes, the same way. You know, if you're looking for the low maintenance tomatoes, go for the cherry tomatoes. But beans, peppers, and a lot of your herbs are easy to grow from seed.
We've touched on this before. What about raising what you will actually eat?
Yeah, and the exotic stuff is fun every once in a while, but it's hard to grow, and you probably won't eat it all the time. But there are things that you do eat all the time. That's what you should grow, and you might even have the opportunity to grow succession planting. So if you're a green lettuce type person, you have a lot of extra flexibility and extra opportunity for bounty.
So don't raise too much. We talked about growing everything from seed. That just doesn't make sense. What about sort of getting in there and thinking you know everything there is to already know?
Yeah, I don't know anything in life that works out that way, right? I mean, you never know everything.
Yeah.
You never do. And when you do think you know everything, it's time to maybe go back and do a review. Then you just have to do your homework, and you have to make sure that things have changed, too, since you acquired your initial knowledge. There may have been more research or more practice that's come up with better ways and better products for us to use.
So some of the basics might be know which zone you're in, know what kind of soil you're dealing with. What about insects?
Yeah, what kind of pests are you looking at? And are there cultural issues that you need to watch for? You know, if you have these mid to late April snowfalls with a little bit of freezing weather, you know, it's way too early to plant anything above ground right now, but there'll be people that will try unknowingly and with the best of intentions, only to get disappointed with a little bit of late season frost.
So 3 or 4 years ago, I took a chance. We had a really warm March, and I thought at the end of March, I went, I'm done. I'm done waiting. This has been an unprecedented warm spring, and I dropped some tomato plants in the ground. What do you think happened? Now, I knew this might happen going into this. I took a risk. Temperatures dropped into the upper 20s and burned them right to the ground. Most of them came back, though, so I thought that was interesting. They grew back up from the roots.
Tragedy nearly averted.
Yeah, so it's really tempting to use Roundup or an herbicide or a pesticide. What do you think about that? Is that a common mistake?
I think, yeah, and sometimes that common mistake results from another one of, like, say, raising too much and having too large of a garden. And there are other things that we can do to get away from the need to use synthetic pesticides. Edible landscaping is one, for example. If you're a gardener that reads at all, you know that you can buy predator insects of various types and turn them loose in your garden. But there's a little hope and wonder there because they could just fly off into your neighbor's yard and work over there. There are lots of things that we should do before we run to use synthetic pesticides. Non-toxic insecticidal soaps are great for our soft-bodied insects.
Yeah, the thing with pesticides, you may already have praying mantises and ladybugs in your garden, and the pesticide doesn't discriminate.
Right, and also, too, if you see a few pests are one thing, and you just happen to be there the day that they were on center stage. So the mistake you could make is that, oh, my goodness, I seen one bad insect, and now I'm going to spray everything down. Well, that might not have been necessary just because you've spotted one insect or an insect in one spot in your garden.
Next week, we'll talk about common rookie mistakes for amateur landscapers and talk about how to get the kids involved and stay busy during the stay-at-home order. And you'll hear about the health benefits of gardening and landscaping. If you have any questions about anything else in your garden or landscape, send them in, and Patrick Murphy with Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences will answer them. I'm Mike McCurdy. Send your questions to wglt.org/grow.